I think Jesus could be in front of me, and I'll probably still shoot. So, I mean, it don't really matter to me.
I've seen Jesus play before, and hopefully Jesus don't shut his ass down the next game.
Hey, that, man, that level.
Relax, Kuz.
NBA Straya. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Straya. It's Tuesday, August 11, and I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet green, that folding stuff, that walking around money, that booze money. I'm here in Lariama Studios. Yes, there is a breakfast Portuguese tart sitting to my right, two empty glasses in front of me, and a lot of detritus around. Old mate's at it again. Anyway, giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA Orlando bubble today. Breakdown, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. That's what we do here. The NBA's back. Loving this. Every moment of it. We've got more playoff movements. We've got, like, playoff outcomes all up in the air. It's like a meme with numbers floating around my head. I don't know what the fuck to do. Everything's up in the air. It's wild. Either way, we've got some fun games to talk about today. We're going to do that with all the usual dumbassery. If that's the night, four mate, no mate, spud of the night, pants in the evening, better than Lonzo Ball. And of course, there's yeah, Nas, there's the unpopular opinion of the day. And we've got a ripper Outback Takeout, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. There's a very quick Australian player watch. And because it's Tuesday, we've got a bang on Shane Heal Shooter Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up award to give out, as well as a pick and preview for all the games tomorrow. Crazy, crazy playoff implications everywhere in the games tomorrow. That's brought to you by playup.com.au/NBA Straya. Go there for all your sweet NBA gambling needs. And we're going to close off today's show with the Jingles HR, a brand new Jingles HR. Love that. All right, big show, fun show. Let's do it. NBA Straya episode 456. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the shark attack.
Well, you better. Well, you better watch out for the shark attack if you're Shaq. Charles Barkley was hilarious today on TNT, saying, you know, he always talks about swimming with sharks. I'm not going to lie, and I'm not an evil person. I'd love to see his fat ass get eaten by a shark. Y'all know we'd be laughing behind closed doors. That'd be such a Shaq thing to do, to get eaten by a shark. Oh, I fucking love Charles Barkley. That is funny as shit. Oh, good stuff. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Straya with the Daily Whip Around. That's right, the Whip Around. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, had his surgery outside the bubble today to get rid of a bit of loose stuff in his knee. That was like the thing. It's like, yeah, the subluxation of his kneecap, his left knee, basically, where the kneecap pops out of place and goes back into place. Got a little bit of, a couple of floating bodies in there. So he had to undergo the knife. Turns out it's successful. Everyone's expecting him to miss the rest of the season, but he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks anyway. So prayers up for Big Simo Ben Simmons. Hopefully he gets back out there. Love him. Miss him. Speaking of the Sixers, Joel Embiid hurt his ankle, obviously, yesterday. Apparently it's only a bit of a sprain. He's going to miss tomorrow's game against Phoenix. It's great news for America's team, the Suns. Nice. Montrezl Harrell. He's in the bubble following the very sad passing of his grandma and him leaving the bubble to be there. He's now back posting stories on the IGs from his balcony. Nice. I think it was his balcony. I can't remember. Anyway, good on him. He'll be very, very handy to the LA Clippers, you reckon? Especially heading into the first round of the playoffs. T-Ross! Orlando Magic. T-Ross. Terrence Ross is getting treatment for a non-COVID illness outside of the bubble right now. Which is weird. I thought they could have easily treated chlamydia in the bubble. That's right. The Lakers.
The Lakers stink!
Well, not really. They got a win today. Granted, the Nuggets tanked the game and played their bench the entire fourth quarter basically again. They're also now whinging that they're somehow disadvantaged by having the one seed and not knowing who we're going to play until the last moment. Fuck off, you whinging dorks.
Oh, but we've got the one seed and we're not going to know who we play until it all works out.
You know who also isn't going to find out? Like the 4-5, the fucking 3. Like, get over it. Anyway, and the New Orleans Pelicans have ruled out Zion, Spindles Ingram, and Drew Holiday for tomorrow's game against the Kings, a.k.a. the sad wet tissue bowl. Oh, geez. It's going to be a rough one. The best news to come out of the last day has been DeAndre Drummond Ayton. I love him. He's been really good in the bubble, has the old DeAndre Ayton, but missed a mandatory test for a virus on Sunday night where it turns out he might have been on Woj's podcast, misses a test because he was taping a podcast, and then had to take another one the day after, wait for the test results to come back before he could actually play and enter the game today. So he misses the window for the testing on Sunday, takes another one Monday morning, which is, you know, today, America time, before the game, the Suns played against the Thunder. The results weren't expected to come back in time for Ayton to join the team, but they end up coming back a bit early before the game begins. Ayton's basically running over. He's like, fucking, where's the bus? Where's Chuck and the bus? Come on, let's get over there. He was en route to the arena as the national anthem was playing. Didn't make it in time for tip-off. Checks in the start of the second quarter, which is absolutely fucking crazy. I'm going to talk about this again later, but man, DeAndre Ayton missing a coronavirus test because he was taping a podcast, thereby putting the Suns' must-win game in jeopardy, is pretty fucking funny. Speaking of elimination, Chris Haynes was saying that the NBA have told teams that when they're mathematically eliminated on or before August 12th, they're going to get the fuck out. That's like basically as of tomorrow, our time, but, you know, basically by this coming Wednesday, America time, you're going to get the fuck out after their final game is done. Teams are going to shower in designated rooms at the Coronado Springs Resort, get some food, and then take the fucking bus to the airport. Like, you don't even get to say goodbye to your mates. How fucked is that? Imagine that. You're on the Suns, you're bangers. Maybe you get eliminated. You don't get to say goodbye to Jingles. It's fucking brutal, mate. Maybe Patty Mills is there. The Spurs don't make it. He doesn't get to say goodbye to old mate Matty T. Or Jingles. Or maybe bangers. That's fucking sad. Jesus. Anyway, my third favorite day of the NBA calendar. Draft lottery night. August 20. It's coming up. It's next week. Can't wait for that. Tins! The team reps are going to be apparently appearing via a virtual display. So that'll be fun. Not as fun as usual. But geez, I like the old draft lottery. Good stuff. All right, let's do some game reps for today. Five games. A bit of a quiet one and a lot of weird games. A lot of resting going on. A lot of maneuvering around for seeding, as we probably expected into the second half of the bubble seeding game. So here we are. Phoenix, what are we going to do? Game reps, game reps, game reps, game reps, game reps, game reps. Phoenix beat OKC 128-101 to remain unbeaten. And also because OKC rested Shireta, Gilgeous Alexander, Stephen Adams-Brew, Nerlens Noel, Gallinari, Danilo Gallinari, everybody but CP3, and Dennis Schroeder, and German Rondo, is off out of the bubble with his wife having a baby. So, yeah. OKC were basically like, we don't want to win this. Who cares? We've got to rest our dudes, bro. Booker went down hard in the first quarter of this one as well, too. Did not look good. But anyway, OKC got out to a fast start, up 13 in the second quarter. But then two cams for Phoenix steadied it, 65-64 at the half. That's Cam Payne, Cam Johnson. Suns ran away with it in the second half. It's because the Thunder were really relying on Darius Rucker-Baisley, 22-10 for him, 14-7 for CP3 in only 24 minutes. And Hamidou Diallo was definitely Hamidon't today. We'll talk about him later. The Suns, without DeAndre Ayton in the starting lineup, as mentioned, started small. Dario Saric, the homie, was the biggest bloke out there. Jesus, Mikal Bridges, Johnson, Booker, Rubes. What a fun starting lineup, though. I reckon the Suns should always go small. Unless they've got bangers. Booker has 35-5-4. Unreal. We'll talk about him at length later. Two different times. Mikal Bridges was awesome, too. 5-8 from 3 for 18 points. Cam Johnson, 18 points as well. 4-8 from downtown for him. Campaign, 14, 6, and 5. Love it. The Suns' young core, just rocking and rolling. 10 and 6 for Andre Drummond Ayton in his 17 minutes eventually. And Rubio drops in 9 dimes as well. Big win for the Suns. They're 6-0 in the bubble. Half a game back of Portland. 1 game back of the Grizz in the West. Okay, see, 43-27 in 5th in the West. Half a game up on the Jazz. It's the Jazz. It's a soft J. The Jazz. 1.5 behind Houston. We'll talk about the West seedings and everything a little bit later. Dallas beat Utah in an absolutely insane game where they came back from 22 points down to win by 8. They were down 22 in the second half as well. No Luka, no Extreme Zingemiel.
Extreme Zingemiel.
For Dallas. I don't think Dorial Finney-Smith played either. No Donny Mitchell for Utah. He didn't play, but they, look, the Jazz played basically their bench for most of the second half. The Mavs outscored them by 20 in the fourth quarter, 34-14. The Jazz were like, nah, we're fine. But they're up 16 at the half, up 22 in the third, still up 15 as time basically expired in the third, but Tim Hardaway, the lesser, hit a three to make it a 12-point lead. Give the Mavs like a bit of a skerrick of hope. And they ran away with it in the fourth. Absolutely crazy. So there you go. Mike Conley for the Jazz, only 16 minutes. He had 9 points. Jeremy Jordan Clarkson had 18 points in 14 minutes. Light him up, Jeremy Jordan. Ray John Tucker was awesome for the Jazz. 17 points for him. Manny Moutier had 14, 4, and 4. But as you can tell from the names I'm reading out, not a big game for the Jazz. The Mavs, however, Tim Hardaway the lesser. It was his time to shine. You know that he looked at the whole thing of like Zinger not being there, Luka not being there. He's like, all right, Tim, it's all up to you, pal. 27 points in the end, 11 of 15 shooting for him, 3 of 6 from 3. Now, if only he'd keep that energy for a game when Luka and the Zinger are playing as well and they need him. That's the big fucking problem with Hardaway the lesser. Boban, he was awesome. 20 points and 9 rebounds. Just doing Boban things. JJ Barea had 18 and 8. Fuck, I love him. Seth the shit Curry had 22 points, 4 or 6 from deep as well. And somehow, that giant 6'9" spud, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, my least favorites of all the kids or Gilchrist, somehow played 18 minutes, had 0 points and 0 shots, got 6 rebounds and was a plus 21. You cannot tell me that Ryan Rowdy Brockoff would not be better for the Mavs in that fucking position. What are you doing, MKG? Get the fuck out of here. Utah are 43-28. They're in 6th. They're a half game behind OKC in 5th. Dallas, 43-30. They're in 7th. 1 game back from the Jazz. We'll talk about that in the game previews a bit later. Toronto-Milwaukee played. A bit of a laugh. 114-106. Second string of nation, really. No Giannis for Milwaukee. He was actually going to play, apparently, and then was like, oh, I got a bit of a toothache. Can we get a dentist? That's what happened. He was having oral surgery. No Kyle Lowry. Big booty Kyle Lowry or Fred VanVleet of the fight and VanVleet's for Toronto. And they barely played, the rest of their guys. Siakam played 28 minutes. Gasol only 20. They took it easy. The Bucks, same thing. Chris O'Middleton, Lopez, they had 17 and 12 respectively. Bledsoe getting back into game form. 11, 7 and 8 for him in 30 minutes. Kyle Korver, though. Led the Bucks with 19, went 5 or 6 from deep. Couldn't miss. He was awesome, especially early on. Paddy Connaughton had 12 points. Georgie Hill, 14-2. But look, this was a bit of a nothing game, wasn't it? Everyone's kind of like, yeah, we're not going to throw our best punches. I mean, we're the 1-2 seeds in this. What the fuck? For the Raps, Matt Thomas, not the one from the Mavises. The chartered accountant looking motherfucker for the Raptors. 22 points for him. 4 of 8 from 3. He was unreal. 9 of 17 overall. He barely missed, especially in the first half. Meanwhile, Chris Bobby Boucher had 25 and 11. Norm Powell went 4 of 5 from deep for his 21 points. Raps get a win. Completely meaningless. Whatever. They're 51 and 19. Milwaukee, 55 and 16. I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. Miami Indy. Now, this was an actual game that mattered. And we got Jimmy Butler and Goran the Flog back for Miami. Miami win at 114-92. This was super tight for the entire first half. Tight like a tiger. Tied at 48. And then bang, Miami smoked him in the second half. Massive, massive third quarter. The defensive clamps just came out. And Indy, look, and this is the big problem with Indy. You'd think with our Presidente Malcolm Brogdon, Victor Oladipo, etc. Now, you know, Bubble MJ, TJ Warren, they might be able to get buckets or at least manufacture some points. They could not at that point. Miami just clamped him down and bang, off you go. So, look, Indy, they shot 39%. Not great. 17 turnovers, also not great. Victor Oladipo had 14 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and 4 turnovers. I know you're coming back from a knee injury, wicked up, but jeez, got to show us a little bit of something in this bubble, don't you? Speaking of showing us something in the bubble, Bubble MJ, TJ, Warren, 12 points on 14 shots. Talk about that later. This is the much ballyhooed rematch between TJ Warren and Jimmy Butler as well. One person came up good on that matchup, and it was not TJ. El Presidente, Malcolm Brogdon, shot 4 of 12 for 12 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Miles the Invisible Man Turner, 9 and 7 in 24 minutes. Jesus. Even Dougie McBuckets was Dougie McMissalot, 4 of 11 for 9 points in 22 minutes. Indy just all out for their game in the second half here. Miami Butts was awesome, 19 points. Even though he shot 5 of 13, he was still very good. Got going late in terms of scoring, but 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. Jesus. Goran the Flog Dragic started. 5 of 16 for him, 11 points, 9 assists. Bam! Adebayo went 10, 9, and 4 with 3 blocks. There goes my Tyler Hero. Had 17, 5, and 2. He was good too. Crowder and Robbo. Duncan Robinson had 14 each. And Derek Jones Jr. had about 80 fucking alley-oops. It was awesome to see. Anyway, with that loss, Indy dropped to 43-28. They're in 5th. Half game up on the Sixers in 6th. Miami sitting in 4th at 44-27. Get a feeling that an Indy-Miami first round will be an absolute fucking bloodbath and really fun. You know? Anyway. Denver Lakers. Lakers win this 124-121 on a Kyle Kuzma game winner. Blah. That's right. Kuz was good all game, though. Especially when Denver sort of sent all their good players to the bench for good. Hit the go-ahead three-pointer off a beautiful screen. A really very nice after-timeout play from Frank Spud Vogel. The Nuggets, for some reason, I'm pretty sure they were just like, we don't want to go to overtime. Threw it to Bol Bol for 2 at the end with 0.4 seconds left. Unfortunately, they were down 3 and Bol Bol missed anyway. So, pretty sure it was just Denver going, yeah, we're done. Let's go. I want to go home, go to bed. Denver played their entire bench basically the 4th. Lakers are out there running 18. LeBron to get some rhythm. Good on him. Good win for the Lakers, I guess. Nuggets, no one played more than 26, 27 minutes across the board. They shot 58% against the Lakers and 13 of 23 from 3. Get the feeling they could have won this if they wanted to. Joker, 12 and 4. Jam and Jamal Murray, 14 points. MPJ, QAnon. MPJ, 15 and 4 for him. 6 of 6 from the floor, including 3 of 3 from downtown in only 24 minutes. He's a gun. PJ Dozier at 18. And Bol Bol, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. 1 of 2 from 3. He was unreal. Lakers, LeBron James to 25 and 13. Assists. Only 1 rebound, which came really late too, which was weird. Because like the announcers are like, that's his first rebound. It's like, what? It's the 4th quarter. What are you doing, LeBron? Jesus. AD had 27 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. That's called filling it up, folks. And Kuz, it's about time. He did something. 25 points for Kuz, the Armenian Allen. 11 of 16 for him. Goes 3 of 5 from downtown, 6 boards, 3 assists. Not bad. Danny, not the Boxer Green, had 11 points. And I believe it actually got tweeted at me as well. And when Danny Green's dribbling, your team's in trouble. And that's what was happening for the Lakers. He was dribbling. It's like, oh, don't do it, Danny. 12 points for Deion Waiters. And Dwight Howard was handy as well. 14 minutes, 8 and 5. Really sort of getting into Joker. Be interesting to see this in the playoffs, wouldn't it? But with Denver being the 3 seed, wouldn't happen unless Denver knocked off the Clippers. Anyway, Denver now 1 game up on Houston in the 3 spot. 1.5 behind the Clips for 2. LA locked into 1, 52 and 18. All right, so the state of play in the West, we still have the Grizz, obviously, and Portland unchanged today. Basically, a half game separating them, 33 and 38 for the Grizz, 33, 39 for Portland. Suns are 32 and 39, 1 game back. Same with the Spurs, but the Suns have 1 more win and 1 more loss. Spurs are 31, 38. Man, so it's going to be very interesting. So we want Blazers, Suns. What do you reckon? That's what I want. I'll talk about that later. Anyway, in the meantime, let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a night. That's a night.
Naughty boy! Matt Thomas, not the one from the Mavises. 22 points. He was amazing. 4 of 8 from 3. Absolute gun. 26-year-old rookie. Fucking love it. Gives me hope that I could still make the NBA. Kuz! His game-winning 3, 25 points. Unbelievable. Good to see him waking up finally. But also, you know, fuck the Armenian Allen. I'm going to give this to Devin Booker. He was fucking incredible. Yes, OKC were running out not their usual team, but Book still dropped 35 on him, hit a shot from the fucking logo, and was doing everything. That's back-to-back 35-point games for Booker as well, so he might pop up again later, just saying. But he was great, capital G, great. And I love it. I'm loving this Suns run. Oh, fun games, fun games. What about Old Mate No Mates, though?
Old Mate No Mates.
Who's got No Mates today? Almost DeAndre Drummond Ayton, huh? Because like having your starting center almost miss a crucial game to keep your playoff hopes alive because he missed a coronavirus test because he was on a podcast that isn't this one is about the most Suns thing ever. That doesn't include putting a fuck ton of goats in someone's office. Or trading away a draft pick that turns into Rajon Rondo for cash. Or not paying Joe Johnson when you're on the edge of contending for fucking 6 years. Suns. But yeah, that was a very close run. DeAndre Ayton fucking everything up for the Suns because he was on a podcast. That's pretty funny. Kuz, after the game today, said that he would have shot that shot over Jesus. People took that pretty chill, as you can imagine. My point is, Jesus wasn't very tall. Kuzma, you're like 6'8". Jesus was like 5'6", max. Bro, of course you'd shoot it over Jesus. Fucking lots of airspace. But also, yeah, Denver not wanting to win that game was pretty fucking funny today. Like, them going, yeah, we're down 3, we'll throw it to Bol Bol. Go for a 2, who cares? That was great. But one of my favorite things today, in terms of Old Mate No Mates, just a reminder of how everybody hates Dwight Howard. Like, he popped up on the Lakers game, and then I saw the stat. It's been exactly 8 years. Apparently, the world's quickest 8 years have just gone by since the Magic traded Dwight to the Lakers. And since then, the Magic have actually won more playoff games than the Lakers, which is fucking wild to think about. Fun times. Spud of the night.
Spud of the night.
2 of 9 today for the big ragu, Dante DiVincenzo, and 3 of 11 for Kelly Hoser, Olynyk. Oh, look at my stupid headband, eh, and my stupid beard, bro. Oh, it's really cool. But spuds of the night, I gotta go to a couple of OKCers. Hamadou Diallo was Hamadon't. I mentioned that. 4 of 13 for Hamadon't. Jesus, for 9 points, 0 of 3 from deep, and his erstwhile teammate, Deonte Spider Burton, 0 of 5 in 32 minutes. That's for my AFL followers out there as well. I like that one, Deonte Spider Burton. 0 of 5 in 32 minutes, 3 rebounds, 1 turnover, 3 fouls, 2 points. When you got more fouls in 32 minutes than points, you're in trouble, and you're a spud of the night. Deonte Spider Burton. Panting of the night. Chris Bobby Boucher straight up killed.
So he got straight killed.
Ersan Ilyasova. He just fucking took it through the rack and threw Ersan, and it was pretty fun. So good on him, Chris Bobby Boucher. But obviously, pants of the night goes to TJ Bubble MJ Warren. Got fully pants by Jimmy Butts. Absolutely pants. So his lowest points total in Orlando so far, Bubble MJ, turned into number 45, MJ. Turned into baseball MJ. 12 points on 5 of 4 shooting in 29 minutes. Butts just fucking shadowed him. Every time he went out, came back in, Butts checked him. Pretty much most possessions. TJ Warren, you got straight killed.
So he got straight killed.
And you got butsed. You got butsed. Sucked in. That's not great, but still. You got pantsed. Better than Lonzo Ball for today, finally. What do you think about this one?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Because, to be honest, you think I'm going to came here to be average? Lonzo wishes he was average at this point because he is actually officially the worst player in the bubble at the moment. Because, oh boy, I tell you what, if you go into a bubble situation and you shoot, what is it? Just an absolutely shocking 26% across 6 games. 26%. Do you know how hard it is to miss that many shots? He's shooting 19% from 3 and 42% from the free throw line. He's averaging 5 points a game, 7 assists, 3 turnovers. Oh, Lonzo. That is tough stuff. So better than Lonzo Ball today. Look, Tyler Hero. There goes my Tyler Hero. 17 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists today, 7 of 11 shooting. Nice, 7-11. 3-6 from downtown, a block and a turnover. He was awesome. He's fun as well. Lonzo stinks, but I'm going to give this to Rajon Tucker. What? Jimmy, who the fuck is Rajon Tucker? Well, he's the bloke for the Yaz who came out today and dropped 17 points on 4 of 7 shooting, which is pretty... 4 of 7 shooting. That's amazing. He went 8 of 9 from the free throw line. Lonzo can barely hit the side of the fucking backboard when shooting free throws. Rajon Tucker's out there dropping 17 on fools, 1 of 3 from 3, 3 rebounds and assist and block. And today, better than Lonzo Ball. Good job, Rajon. And what a sick name too. You're a fucking legend. All right, we'll be back with Yenaz after this.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, Yenaz. Time for some Yenaz. They are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com. If you're in Melbourne under lockdown specifically, geez, only one way to survive that, right? That's by getting a shit ton of booze from thedailyliquor.com. Get some sample. The lager's nice. The three quarters IPA is fucking delicious. The Dos Blocos, love that. Dos XPA is unreal. Anyway, any of the delicious booze at thedailyliquor.com, get it delivered. Use the code STRAYA, all caps, and you'll get a free six pack of the delicious Dos XPA. How good's that? I'm giving you free beer. I've already taken the squid for a walk today, so I literally can't do anything more for you today. But I can get you free beer if you use the code STRAYA, all caps, at thedailyliquor.com. Love it. All right, yeah, Nas. Here we go. We take a bunch of NBA storylines to start with more yeah, more nah. Number one, are the Lakers really disadvantaged by not knowing who their opponent is? Yeah, nah. Fuck nah. Not more disadvantaged than anyone else. You fucking whinging nerds. Just because in the East, 1-8 and 2-7 is already locked in, that's fine. But at the same time, like, what are you meant to do? Like, what can they do? Should the NBA just go, oh, well, you can choose your opponent then? Fuck off. That'd be kind of fun, but at the same time, I still think it'd be way more fun if the NBA just went and stopped and pivoted right now and went, fuck it. You know this whole play-in tournament thing that we've been talking about? We're actually going to do it, and we're going to use these last 4 teams to play in for the 8 seed. If they had some fucking stones, they'd do it. But anyway, speaking of which, in the Lakers, with the other team seemingly almost trying to help Portland get in to play the Lakers in the first round, would the Lakers be afraid of taking on the Blazers if they're the 8 seed? Yeah, nah, not afraid, per se, but they would take them seriously, the Lakers. As opposed, I think, if Memphis or even San Antonio got the 8 seed, I still feel like the Lakers would look at that as a warm-up and a chance to get in tune. Whereas the Blazers, the Lakers would actually look at that and go, fuck, now we've actually got to play. So, give me some Blazers in the 8 seed, please. With, look, love Memphis, but they're fucked. San Antonio, they don't have their second best player. Come on, what are we doing? If the Pelicans fire Elvin Gentry, should he be replaced by Kenny Atkinson? Yeah, nah. Ooh. Nah. There's just a lot of rumors floating around that Elvin Gentry is on the hot seat. That's fine. I mentioned this yesterday. Probably shouldn't fire him. They'll probably give him another chance. Who knows? But even then, I don't feel like you need a development guy. You know, you need a bit of an ass kicker, a level head, a dude who's been there, seen it, like the Monty Williams experience you've seen happen in Phoenix. You kind of need that guy, right? So I feel like Ty Lue would be a great, great hire for the Pelicans if the Nets don't snaffle him up. But anyway, kind of still feel like Elvin Gentry gets one more year just to see how it all sort of fits together. But who knows? David Griffin, it's all up to him, right? Speaking of which, with the Pelicans and Kings playing tomorrow for literally nothing, should they just send them all the fuck home? Yeah, nah. No, they shouldn't, because they should be made to play Zion so I can get my fucking big fat man fix for a few more months. Like, we're not going to see Zion again until December. I want to see him one more time, but no, killing me. Hopefully he plays in the last game at least. All right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Look at me.
I mean, Suns Blazers is the best play-in scenario. With utmost apologies to the Grizzlies, but without Jaren Jackson Jr., I give zero fucks about you at the moment. Jar's awesome, no Justice Winslow, no Triple J. You very clearly got no hope against the Lakers. If you did, it'd be fun, but no. And the same thing, San Antonio. DeMar DeRozan, I love Patty Mills, obviously, you know that. But Jesus, you see that San Antonio team going up against the Lakers? That's a very quick four-game series. We'll see you later. But Suns Blazers would be fun as shit. So the Suns are going to play Philly and Dallas in their last two games. The Suns need to win out, basically, and have the Grizzlies lose twice. Or have the Blazers lose once. But it's going to be tough because the Grizzlies got the Celtics and the Bucks. The Bucks will probably be resting everybody because that'll be the last game. So, as I mentioned yesterday, not only should the NBA have a play-in tournament every year, but yeah, they should get rid of all the shit teams too because this has been fucking fun. Hasn't it? Hasn't it? Look, seriously, I'm going to keep bashing this point home. You know, get to middle of Feb, towards the end of Feb, three quarters of the season maybe through. Get rid of the six shittest teams, send them home. Your punishment for being shithouse is your arena revenues cut by a quarter. Fuck off. See you later. And we've got 24 teams going hammer and tongs the rest of the way. It'd be fucking gross. Love it. All right, and finally, today, Outback Takehouse. It's Tuesday at Outback, and you know what that means? Yes. We've put another ad up on seek.com.au for a whole bunch more kitchen staff. Because the rest of them are dead. Bringing down this fucking cassowary out in the Daintree like we did to bring you up on that specials board, cassowary casserole. That's right, it is the deadliest bird known to man. And it killed 19 of my friends. But it's fucking delicious. Only at Outback. And a flame grilled take to go well with your cassowary casserole is, with the race for the number 8 seed so fucking tight, the NBA should just fucking suck it up. Stop being fucking girly men and actually run a proper fucking play-in tournament. 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9. Winners play each other for the 8th seed. Yeah, nah, fuck yeah. Do it, you fucking cowards. Only at Outback. Also, Bill Simmons on his latest podcast said Luka's assists are just like Larry Bird's. They're not cheap assists, like the James Harden type of assists. Bill, just say the word. You know what you want to say. Go on. Go on. All right, Australian Play Watcher after this one.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Tell you what, Simmons getting roasted for saying liking the white guy over the black guy is not a surprise, is it? Tell you what. Anyway, quick Australian Play Watch today because we only had Jingler Joe Ingles in action for the Jazz against the Mavs. Only played 13 minutes as they rested a bunch of their players. 7 points on 7 shots, 370 shot, 1 of 5 from downtown. 7 assists though, 4 rebounds, a steal, a block, and a turnover, and a plus 13 for the jingling one, Jingler Joe Ingles. So, look, bit of a tough one for the Aussies at the moment. We really need bangers to maybe, just maybe, get a bit of a run. But look, it seemed like post-Rona, he was still also dealing with a bit of a hammy or a calf. There was a leg injury in there too. So he's hoping, but he didn't get out there today. So it'd be nice to see him though. And obviously with the Sixers, it'd be nice to see if Rowdy can get a bit of a run at some point too. Yeah. Anyway. All right, let's do what do we do on a Tuesday? It's a bit of a Shane Heal. Light him up. Shoot a shoot. Shoot your shot award, isn't it? That's what we do. So let's do that. Praise the Lord, for I'm healed. Shane Heal, shoot a shoot, shoot your shot, light him up award this week goes to not the bubble MJ, TJ Warren, got shut down today, but Devin Booker. He shot it from the fucking logo at half court. He just looked up and went, yeah, look, time's running out a little bit. And just did the Shane Heal and just fucking shot it. It was sane. It was so good. Swishes it. It barely moved the net. It was like such a fucking perfectly Shane Heal sequence. The Booker might now have blonde tips. Might have to check his hair. But he also tied his own franchise record for most 35-point games in a single season. This was his 15th. He's gone back-to-back. Unreal. Against Miami, he shot 15-26. Today, he went 9 of 17, including 3 of 7 from downtown. In the bubble, old Book, he's gone 6-0. He's dropped 27, 30, 35, 20, 35, and 35. He's gone 13 to 39 from three. That shot over 50% from the floor. 61 of 121 shots. Unbelievable. That is Shane Heal-esque shooting. And we all know, shooter shoot. So shoot your shot, Devin Booker, and light him up. And that's exactly what he's doing. All right, let's go to the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, shall we? Love this. And love anything to do with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day. We had the league fits yesterday on the Patty Mills where it's talking about his vibe, and it was a hell of a vibe. So that was good stuff. But we actually have a, I think there's a plug for, I believe, a new Delhi podcast. Might be his episode 5. But the best one today was Jinglin' Joe Ingles. The Jazz tweeted out, when you're sick of waiting on your teammate to finish his interview, cry laughing emoji. Jingles retweeted that saying, I want you to acknowledge me next time, Georgie Nang. Smack my head, crying emoji. And it is a 12-minute clip of Jingles banging on a window while poor Georgie's Nang is trying to give an interview on the other side. And Joe is like, is he yelling, acknowledge me. Ah, it's great. Ah, Jingles. It's just classic Jingles. I think I tweeted that out. But Delhi as well, as mentioned, he's got the episode. He tweeted out today, episode 5 of the Delhi podcast. Nick Croker is a mentor of mine in the startup world who's a GP. Blackbird VC. Nick shares his journey in the startup world, his passion for entrepreneurship, and much more. Check out the full episode. Good stuff. Love it. Absolutely love it. Good stuff, Delhi. His podcast is very fun. I love it. All right, game previews. Let's do that.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How's it all going with the squid?
Yeah, 2 days in this week and fucking exhausted. I tell you what. The squid is unstoppable. All right, these are brought to you by PlayUp Australia. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. Today we went 3 of 5 in our picks. Not bad. Not bad. For the year, we're 539 of 953 picks. So that's pretty cool. So let's look at tomorrow. I think we've got something like 7 games tomorrow, but like 3 of them don't matter shit. And then like the other 4 are like crazy important. So it's going to be pretty fun to see how this all washes out. So tomorrow we have Brooklyn versus Orlando. The Nets are 6.5-point underdogs. And obviously neither team has anything to play for. Orlando doesn't have T-Ross. Brooklyn are going to be playing the Long Island Nets. You kind of feel like the Magic should at least win this one. But I feel like the Nets are going to be good enough just to cover and hang around and just go, fuck it. You know Jacques Vaughn's going to be trying to coach to win because he's out there trying to get a fucking job. So give me the Nets plus 6.5. Whereas the Magics, they're locked into the 8. Probably limit Vooch's minutes. Yeah, give me the Nets plus 6.5. Rockets Spurs. Now, this is a rip snorter of a game. The Rockets are favored by 3.5. I'm going to take the Rockets. It's because Houston can get close to the 2-3 seed with a win. A win either way clinches top 5 spot for them. If they lose this, the Clippers clinch top 3 and then don't play the Lakers till the Western Conference Finals. And if the Spurs lose, they're out, especially if Phoenix or Portland win. So, big game for Houston. I think Houston win this. Give me the minus 3.5. I like that a lot. Suns, Sixers. Fun game. Suns can stay alive if they win. Well, that can actually stay alive with the loss if the Blazers lose as well. But if they are done if they lose and we get a Blazers win. So it's going to be a very interesting game for Phoenix. You'd expect, even on a back-to-back, they should take care of a Philly team that's without their best 2 players. If the Sixers lose this one, they can't go higher than the 3 seed. If they win, they go to number 5 and I don't know if that's going to be good for them. I think they'd still rather play Boston. So, but either way, Suns are favored by 8.5 points. I kind of want to take it, but look, the Sixers still... Oh, no, I feel like the Sixers are sitting everybody, so give me the Suns minus 8.5. Yeah, they're going to win that and really lay the smackdown. And, of course, like the Sixers are resting everybody. So they're resting Joshy, Richo, Richardson, Tobias Harris probably, and Al Horford. I think Tobias Harris is questionable, but... Yeah, Horford and Richo just gone. And no Embiid, obviously. So give me the Phoenix Suns. Love it. Right, Boston, Memphis, rip snorter of a game. Memphis win, they're locked into a play-in game. If they lose, nothing changes even if Portland win, but still. Fascinating stuff. Boston are pretty much just like, yeah, we're the 3 seed. Fuck it, who gives a shit? In terms of the actual odds, Celtics 4.5-point favorites. I kind of like the Grizzlies here just to go at them pretty hard. Plus 4.5. If they lose, might be close. Because they have to win basically, right? They lock into a plane if they win this one. They do still have a game basically in hand when they play probably a Giannis and everybody else-less Bucks, but still. I think they want to knock it over now. So give me, yeah, Memphis plus 4.5. Portland-Dallas, fun as. Portland, if they win, they clinch a play-in spot. If Phoenix and San Antonio lose, the Mavs, if they lose, they're locked in at 7. If they win out and the Jazz or OKC lose out, the Mavs can get to 6. If those teams both lose out, the Mavs can get all the way up to 5th. So this is going to be very, very good. Mavs obviously rested the Extreme Zingameal. And Luka. Do you reckon Portland can stick with it? Oh, it's going to be tough. I think I'll take the Blazers minus 2.5. Pelicans, Kings. No one gives a fuck about this game. Give me the Kings plus 0.5. No one's going to be playing in that one. No one cares. And same with Bucks, Wizards. That doesn't matter either. Still give me the Bucks minus 7.5, even playing their second stringers against the Wiz. Love it. All right, that's it. Holy shit. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia for all that good stuff. And yeah, plus 6.5 for the Nets. Minus 3.5 for Houston. Minus 8.5 for Phoenix. Plus 4.5 for the Grizz. Minus 2.5 for Phoenix. Plus 0.5 for the Kings. And minus 7.5 for the Bucks. And that's it. Cool. Good shit. Well, we'll be back tomorrow, won't we? With all the usual dumbassery. Make sure you're following NBA Show on Twitter, Facey, IG. Get around all that. Smash NBAAustralia.com/merch. NBAAustralia.com/shop. And buy some merch. Yeah, get a hoodie. Get a t-shirt. Get a stubby holder. Yes. Support us. Come on, help us out. Check us a rating review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on the Android phone. It all helps out heaps. Please do it. Get around the dailyliquor.com. Use offer code STRAYA. Using all caps, get a free six-pack. It's free beer, bro. I don't know what more I can do for you at this point. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now, and it's awesome. Also, big thanks to Joshua Delaranda's Fascinator, Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J Unearthed, and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And Gold Mines, you can go pre-order their new album. Can't wait for that. We're going to close out today's show with a brand new Jingles HR. He's going to answer a question from Derek in Orlando. And we... we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And lederhosen. G'day, Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, where we come up with HR solutions for you and your problems. Because yep, I'm not just a dead-set Aussie legend and the owner of a lot of real estate in Paul George's head and an amateur feud critic. When I'm not sinking threes, talking trash, blowing kisses and looking after my kids, I'm the world's leading HR expert. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from a Derek in Orlando. Dear Joe, I am working for a new company now with a bunch of young guys, and it's kind of fun. But with all the immaturity here, I also kind of miss my old work. Still, they're good kids. But also, it was my birthday last week, and someone kept stealing my birthday cake. Do you have any tips for preventing people from stealing your food from the work fridge? Cheers, Derek, Orlando. Cheers for writing in, Derek. I mean, but... I have to say, I know absolutely nothing about your cake going missing from the work fridge. And despite what you might hear from Cheryl in accounts, I've never stolen anything from our work fridge. And I mean, look, if you don't want to eat it, you should make sure it's labeled really clearly. Because as we say here at Jingles HR, if it doesn't have a label, it's fair bloody game. So there you go. All right. That's all we've got time for this week. No one stole a cake. I didn't steal a cake. I'd never steal a cake. It's been Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Get a job up, yeah.